My first task, Barry Council is my name, and I'll be your MC this morning. My first task is to introduce Maria Teresa Nieva. And Mrs. Nieva is the Secretary General of the Asian Business Congress based in Manila. And she spent a lifetime in civic and religious organizations in the Philippines. She has an incredible record, as she presently holds the executive director position of the Bishops Businessmen's Congress for Human Development. She is national treasurer of the National Citizens Movement for Free Elections. She's the co-chairperson of the Commission on Filipino Family Rights. She's also the chairperson of the Concerned Women of the Philippines and president of the Private Sector Low Income Housing Association. But above all, of course, she is our Secretary General of the Congress. She had an incredible part in establishing the Congress, which was held on three previous occasions in Manila, Bombay, and Hong Kong. And so it is a great deal of pleasure that we have in asking Mrs. Nieva to say the invocations. Would you care to stand and warmly welcome Mrs. Nieva?
Almighty God, we are gathered here today in your presence. Men and women of diverse creeds and cultures, but united in a common commitment to seek a better understanding of our responsibilities in directing business enterprise towards meeting the basic human needs and improving the quality of life of the peoples of Asia. You have created the world and all its riches for the benefit of all men and every man. And you have made man in your image and likeness. And yet today, close to 800 million of our brothers and sisters in Asia still live in abject poverty, victims of hunger, malnutrition, ignorance, and exploitation. We humbly ask that you give us the wisdom and the power to respond in meaningful and positive ways to the challenge of human development, to utilize the financial and technical resources and managerial skills you have blessed us with, to ensure not only company profitability and economic growth, but also the total human development of peoples. Lord, we thank you for those who have worked so long and so hard to bring about this significant gathering of men and women of influence and goodwill from 30 nations. And we praise you because we are confident that you will bless the 4th Asian Business Congress for Human Development so that it may bear fruit to the end, that all your sons and daughters may live in freedom, justice, and peace.
Well, last evening we had a most enjoyable Congress dinner. It was a very successful opening, in a sense, to the Congress, and we now are going to move to the stage where we're officially opening the working sessions of the Congress. And I would like to introduce Mr. John Ralph, Managing Director of CRA and Chairman of the Congress Hosting Committee. Warmly welcome, please, Mr. John Ralph.
Thank you, Barry. Chairman of the Asian Business Congress for Human Development, the Philippine Secretary of Finance, the Honourable Vicente Jaime, Your Eminence. And here I have a problem. I'm not sure what the plural of Your Grace is, but I welcome both Archbishops, members of the Asian Business Congress Council, Congress members, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to extend a formal welcome to all delegates to the 4th Asian Business Congress for Human Development at this first business session of the Congress. We were able, as Barry said last night, to begin our proceedings auspiciously with an interesting and thoughtful address delivered on behalf of President Aquino by her minister, Joe Concepcion. We had a pleasant dinner and a chance to meet other delegates, and we also heard from three delegates their expectations, what they expect of this conference. All of our expectations are high, and for good reason. This is an event which, in my experience, is unique. At the time of the three previous congresses, I was not aware of the organisation, and I doubt that many other Australians were either. I'm particularly pleased, therefore, that this Congress will draw so many Australian and Asian business people together to consider the human and social impact of business activities in this part of the world. We who are engaged in business know the creative role which the private sector plays and the contribution to community well-being that it makes. Unfortunately, this is not universally understood. It is not always appreciated that the freedom of choice in economic activity, which the private enterprise system embodies, is inextricably linked with other personal freedoms we enjoy, including the freedom of religion, freedom of the press, etc. One is not possible without the other. It is also necessary to appreciate that wealth must be created before it can be distributed. Once wealth is created, it can then flow through to the stakeholders in enterprises in the system. That is, to the country, the government, to society, to the shareholders, to the managers and workers, and to the suppliers and financiers. Yet that description is simplistic and misleading, because it implies that one makes wealth somehow, anyhow, and then the benefits flow. In fact, we know that the process of creating the wealth, the means and methods we employ in our businesses, the level of integrity and the standards of behaviour also have a direct impact on our societies and our people. It is encouraging that the importance of the human being in business and the relationships which need to exist is being increasingly recognised globally, certainly in Australia and in my own company. We are very concerned to make people's jobs challenging and expanding, to make it possible for people to realise more of their potential, to give them real responsibility and a chance for creativity, to increase their skills so that they can use them better, to interest them in the future and well-being of their enterprise, to have them understand some of the constraints and imperatives of the enterprise or the country which prescribe certain boundaries on behaviour. Australia has to lift its economic performance to maintain our own standard of living, our social cohesion, and to contribute to the world. We have a very strong view in my company that such things are of overwhelming importance in determining our productivity and competitiveness. I heard a senior manager from Volvo recently say something similar with respect to his industry in Sweden as it competed with the motor industry of other countries. He said that with technologies now able to be purchased on a global basis, being competitive and successful all came down to one's people and how they performed. Only by allowing them to contribute better, by training them better, motivating them better, and thus having a more productive team than another company, gave one a sustainable competitive edge and was the only source of that competitive edge. This sort of realisation should make it clear that there is no sustainable gulf between business goals and social goals, between human values and business imperatives. Finding the means of making one's own people more motivated, more productive, more creative, and more satisfied is, of course, not easy. And for those engaged in business across political, social, cultural, and religious boundaries, it can be much more of a challenge. We may have a vision for development. Translating it successfully and appropriately into action is something on which we all need to share our experiences and views. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the Honourable Vicente Jaime, who is the Chairman of the Asian Congress Council, which has its base in Manila. He is the Chairman of this fourth Congress, and it will be his pleasant task, I'm sure, to declare it open. He is a Minister in the Philippines Government as Secretary of Finance. He has a long and distinguished career as a businessman on which to draw for practical experience, having been chairman or director of many business enterprises in shipping, insurance, consulting, chemicals, steel and utilities. He is a past president of the Private Development Corporation of the Philippines and of the Philippine National Bank, and has also served as secretary of the Department of Public Works and Highways. He currently sits on numerous boards and advisory bodies to do with the national economy as well as education and societal organisations. We are indeed fortunate to have him with us today because of his very onerous duties. We're very pleased that these senior people should come to join with us, and I am very pleased to ask him to declare this Congress open. Thank you.
Your Eminence, Jaime Cardinal Sin, Mr. John Rolfe, officers of the Asian Business Congress for Human Development, Your Excellencies, my friends. I have the happy task of declaring this fourth Asian Congress for Human Development formally open. First of all, allow me to extend a warm personal welcome to all participants and guests of this fourth Asian Business Congress for Human Development. I also wish to extend my special thanks and appreciation to all the members of the Melbourne Congress Hosting Committee, headed by the energetic Mr. John Rolfe as chairman, for providing the venue and for making all the arrangements for our Congress. It is a great pleasure and privilege for me to address this gathering of eminent business leaders brought together by a common desire to give business a meaningful vision of development and growth. We first embarked on our mission 9 years ago to seek and foster a better understanding of our social responsibilities in directing our business enterprises toward meeting the challenge of human development in Asia by improving the quality of life of the peoples in this part of the world. Despite cultural diversity and differences in beliefs and philosophy, we have journeyed through the years as pilgrims, bound by a common objective and resolve, in quest of solutions to the multifarious problems that have hounded and continue to haunt the Asian world today, such as poverty, hunger, and social justice. During the first Asian Business Congress convened in Manila in October of 1979, we focused on the theme economic performance and human development, and posed a challenge to private enterprise to reorient its traditional role in society from being solely profit-motivated to one that is also concerned and committed to providing the basic needs of man and uplifting the humanity of man. We called upon private enterprise to harness its capabilities and resources towards the attainment not only of economic growth, but more importantly, of total human development. 2 years later, in November 1981, we met in Hong Kong for the second Congress on the theme Social Dimensions of Economic Growth, and dwelt on the impact of economic growth to human development. We shared experiences and exchange insights on five basic social dimensions of economic growth, such as the relationship between the immediate need for economic survival and the long-term goal of human development, the role of business enterprises in reducing the disparity between urban and rural development, redirecting the industrialization process towards the attainment of the goal of human development, harmonization of government and business objectives in promoting social progress and harnessing the culture of a people as a catalyst in human development. That Congress concluded with the adoption of concrete country action programs, which sought to directly address the basic issue of economic growth and its impact on human development within the framework of the social dimensions of economic growth, which I have just mentioned. The last time we convened, 5 years ago in Bombay, India, we dwelt on the theme business and human development. We reaffirmed our recognition of the interdependence of business goals and human development, as borne out by our difficult experiences of the recession years. We have come to accept, albeit painfully, that economic aspirations cannot be pursued in isolation from the greater socio-cultural and political concerns of humanity. That for business to be able to play a more meaningful role in development, it must address itself not only to the material needs of man, but to the needs of the total human being. The Bombay Congress took stock of several issues critical to the pursuit of economic welfare and actualization of human potentials in modern-day Asia, such as decentralization and dispersal of economic activity, rural development and self-sufficiency, choice of appropriate technology, unemployment, labor relations and industrial peace, improving the quality of education and health services, improving the supply and quality of food, housing, involvement of business and industry in socio-economic activities, and the role of voluntary organizations in social change. Specific recommendations and action programs on these areas of concern were formulated and adopted for country-level implementation, with the underlying objective of redirecting business activity towards the service of man. Since our last meeting in Bombay in November 1983, our noble pursuit of human development continued to face new challenges as a result of drastic changes.
The whole of the overseas aid community in Australia at the 4th Asian Business Congress for Human Development in the city of Melbourne, where our national office is located. World Vision is the largest of 30 or 40 recognised overseas aid and development organisations in Australia. It will be the channel this year for $40 million Australian dollars contributed by Australians for aid and development among the poor in the countries of the two-thirds world. Between 5 and 6 million of that 40 will be contributed by the Australian Government's Aid Bureau, but the remaining 34 or 5 million will be contributed voluntarily by the Australian public and the business community in this country. Although we are not a commercial business, we try to be business-like, but we are not a commercial business. We are one of those companies that intended to be not-for-profit. We are at least in common mind and heart with you on two things that I can think of. First, although we are now a large international organisation, we began in Asia, in Korea, in 1950, in the context of the Korean War, as a compassionate Christian response to the large number of children who were orphaned by that war. Our heartbeat, therefore, has its roots in Asia, and we still work in most Asian countries, including Korea, where as the economy has picked up pace in that country, we have begun raising funds. And the first person to contribute to our first financial appeal was a Presbyterian clergyman who had gained postgraduate qualifications in theology, but who had himself been one of the orphaned children in the earliest days. I guess that's a measure of human development, not only in terms of his economic and academic life, but in terms of the spirit of compassion that he carries forward from his earlier time. Secondly, we are committed to human development. We believe that human development is not something we can deliver to some other people somewhere else simply because we have financial resources and they do not. We believe that human development is a process in which we ourselves must participate together with them, personally and corporately. Part of our human development right now is to break for coffee. And I am delighted that we can host you for this brief time. A number of my colleagues and myself will be available during that period to share in conversation with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. But before we go, we also need a little bit of help about our material needs. We'd like to have hands up, and I hope somebody's there pretty fast and count, all those that will be staying for lunch. Hands up, all those staying for lunch. Yes, that's obvious. All those who aren't staying for lunch, and then we can count you as you go out. Well, that's about 10 or so. Okay, thank you very much. Back at 10:55 sharp.
Issues like how can business contribute meaningfully to the development of peoples in Asia, examining the realities of comparative advantage, building synergies among different nations, cultural strengths as a catalyst for the growth and development of people and business. The workshops will tackle such topics as 1, business and agricultural development, 2, business and small medium-sized industries, 3, business technology and ecology, 4, business politics, ethics and government, 5, a philosophy towards labor, 6, the financial structure and human development. Other subjects will center on our concept of the Asian manager within the context of the continuing Asian drama. What should be his role in the development process in Asia? How is he to be developed? Another topic will be business and its cultural environment. We will also cover business and the consumer, values and lifestyles, and the corporate social balance sheet. On the whole, despite seemingly insurmountable problems being experienced by business enterprises in the developing countries in these difficult times, causing strain on their operations, the present situation is not altogether irreversible. It should be viewed as a source of challenge, not only for business managers, but for all sectors concerned with development, allowing business enterprises to discover their fullest potential through creativity and innovation if they must effectively contribute to economic and human development in Asia, and therefore improve the quality of life of the people in their respective countries and in the region as a whole. I would like to think that we have all come to this forum with a single purpose, to share and contribute our insights and experiences and participate in the collective effort to realize our vision of development, a vision which is anchored on the philosophy that all economic development activity must ultimately redound to the benefit of humanity. I therefore enjoin each and every one of you to actively participate in the discussions so that through the sharing of our insights, knowledge, and experiences in business management and development, we may be able to achieve a clearer appreciation of the pressing issues in business and human development and hopefully arrive at a common stand in resolving such issues. It is also my belief that this forum affords all of us the rare opportunity to have a deeper appreciation of the needs and aspirations of the different peoples represented in this gathering, with due respect to their values, cultures, and traditions. A learning process that brings us closer to the noble goal of cooperation in spite of diversity. For in the final analysis, the ultimate measure of the success of this forum lies not alone in the ventilation of the critical issues confronting our institutions, but also in the degree and extent of understanding and cooperation that will be achieved among ourselves to resolve the issues at hand. If only for this, this forum would have been well worth our efforts. Thank you and good day. May I now call on Mrs. Teresa Nieva to introduce the country delegations.
Can we ask you to please stand up when we call out the country names? I'm sorry. Hong Kong. India. Yes. Indonesia. Japan. Korea, Malaysia, Philippines, Taiwan, Thailand, Canada, Spain, and of course Australia. I hope I have not missed any late registrant. Thank you.
May I now call on Mr. Ernesto Scaler, Chairman of the Bacnotan Consolidated Industries and Treasurer of the Asian Congress Council, to introduce our inaugural address speaker, Mr. Scaler.
Mr. Chairman, Your Eminence, Excellencies, fellow delegates, I have been given the privilege and the easy task of introducing one of the most internationally known prince of the church, our guest speaker. But I would like to mention a few facets of his multifaceted character that are not very well known. And the subject is much easier because